Why don't we turn to NPR national political correspondent Linda Wertheimer, who joins us from Denver, where, of course, last night the Obama speech concluded the Democratic National Convention. Linda, good to speak with you.
Thank you very much, Neil. Very nice to be with you.
And we've heard that response from the Obama camp already. Senator Obama himself and his vice presidential selection, Joe Biden, are off campaigning today in Pennsylvania. They are planning to tour through Pennsylvania, Ohio, and Michigan. These Midwestern states are going to be critical, but what do you make of the selection of Sarah Palin to be the vice presidential nominee of the Republican Party?
Well, first of all, there's the timing of the announcement of Sarah Palin, which is obviously designed to step all over Barack Obama's evening and change the subject back to Senator McCain. So there's that. Then there's the notion that he has chosen, he has made, I think, what he would like to call a maverick choice. She herself is a Republican Party outsider. But the thing that I think is the most striking about this decision is that Sarah Palin is young. She's completely, as far as I can tell, unprepared to be president of the United States, way unprepared to be the commander-in-chief. And Senator McCain is in his 70s and not in terrific health. So if, you know, I generally take it as read that the vice presidential decision is not an important decision. I mean, you know, you can pick somebody who's Spiro Agnew, perhaps, who wasn't nationally known and basically was sort of his role in the campaign was wisecracks. But, and it doesn't hurt. It doesn't make any difference, generally speaking. But in this campaign, I think everyone was concerned that Senator Obama did not have foreign policy experience, and he fixed that with his running mate, Joe Biden. And it's not that it makes everybody feel much better about Mr. Obama so much as it takes it off the table. But what does he do? You know, what does he get with a very young woman who is the first time office holder, governor of a state which has very few people in it, a state which is she's a reformer in a state where there are so many indictments. She may be the only standing statewide office holder. And, I mean, it's a very strange decision, but I don't see that it compensates for the fact that he is old, and therefore everyone is concerned that, you know, his vice president may actually make it into the top job if he is elected president.
Well,
John McCain himself has made that point, that his age makes his choice of vice president doubly important, and in fact today is his birthday. He turns 72 years old today.
Linda, do you think that this might be a message to appeal to those Hillary Clinton voters still angry and upset that their woman did not make it to the top or the bottom of the ticket in the Democratic Party?
Perhaps so. And, you know, I would say good luck with that, because I think that Hillary Clinton made such an impassioned plea, and Bill Clinton also, for those people to come back into the fold. And I think probably most of them did. I don't know that it would be I guess in a very close race where you're figuring on the margins, it might be significant. And certainly I think women would be more comfortable with the ticket, with a woman on it, perhaps. But I just can't get over the notion that it seems like a very odd choice, a choice that it seems to me raises more questions than it answers, as we like to say.
Scott Horsley, let me ask you, one of the things we had heard all along was that Senator McCain wanted to pick someone with whom he was personally comfortable. That seemed to rule out Mitt Romney. There was considerable tension between those two camps during the Republican primaries. But that raised questions about, his great friend Tom Ridge or his great friend Joe Lieberman, perhaps ruled out because of their positions on abortion. Of course, Joe Lieberman, not so many years ago, the Democratic vice presidential nominee. Nevertheless, do we know if Senator McCain has spent any time with Sarah Palin?
That's something that we were asking ourselves in the press corps today. If he spent any time with Sarah Palin, it's been pretty minimal, at least during the last year. She has not campaigned with him or very much for him in the way that, say, Joe Lieberman or Mitt Romney has. She's not been a presence on the Straight Talk Express bus. She's not one of the boys riding around in the back of the campaign caravan. If they have any familiarity, I'd say it's pretty limited.
And Linda, she is described as being aggressively pro-life. That is going to bolster Senator McCain's appeal, he might think, with the conservative wing of the Republican Party, who's had their people have had their doubts about Senator McCain.
And I think that would be one of the most important qualities that she brings to this. Senator McCain is mistrusted by pro-life activists in the Republican Party, not because he has ever voted wrong on abortion, as far as I know he never has, but because he cast one of those sort of camel's nose under the tent votes on stem cell research. And they're just worried about him, that he might not be everything that he ought to be, that that they would like him to have a purer opposition to abortion and to any anything related to it. And I think that is something that that will help him. But on the other hand, everybody, we have had many years of pro-life candidates in the White House, and nothing has changed. The only thing I suppose that could change is Supreme Court appointments, which would, then make it possible for the court to overturn Roe versus Wade. But Sarah Palin would have almost nothing to do with that if it actually happened.
I'm Neil Conan in Washington. We're awaiting the arrival of Senator John McCain, the presumptive Republican nominee for President of the United States, at the Irvin J. Nutter Center at Wright State University in Dayton, Ohio. It's the home to Wright State basketball and also to to the ECHL Dayton Bombers hockey team. We're told, Scott Horsley has corrected us, that as many as 15,000 people are awaiting Senator McCain's arrival, where he is now, it's been confirmed, going to be announcing the his new vice presidential candidate to run with him, and that's going to be Sarah Palin, the first-term governor of Alaska, 44 years old, born in Idaho, former mayor of Wasilla in Alaska, a town of about 9,000 to 11,000 people. She has bucked her party's establishment in the state of Alaska. When she ran for governor in the Republican primary, she defeated the then sitting governor, Frank Murkowski, who you'll remember was also a longtime senator from the state of Alaska. He was elected governor and appointed his daughter, Lisa Murkowski, to replace him in the United States Senate. And, we're told that Sarah Palin had also considered a race against Lisa Murkowski. She was elected governor of the state and, as we mentioned earlier, backed her lieutenant governor, another young Republican, in the primary race this year against Don Young, the longtime representative from the state of Alaska. Alaska has so few people. There are two senators, but just one congressional representative, so that's a very important seat for the state of Alaska. And so, as Linda Wertheimer was mentioning just a moment ago, there have been any number of Republican statewide officials there, the old guard establishment, who have been involved in investigations and allegations. Senator Ted Stevens will be facing a trial here in Washington, D.C. Before the election begins. He'll go on trial for failing to report, the allegation is, about $250,000 in a gift in terms of repairs and improvements to his home there in Alaska. Senator McCain is expected to arrive at the Nutter Center with his vice presidential nominee. A Gulfstream jet arrived from Alaska, landed in Dayton this morning, and it's believed that Governor Palin was on that jet. She's 44 years old, as we mentioned, the first-term governor. And Scott Horsley, any word yet on when Senator McCain may arrive?
Neil, the lights in the basketball arena have just dimmed, and I believe that means that John McCain's arrival
is imminent.
It was
a time of uncertainty, hope, and change. The summer of love. Half a word.
Sounds like we're getting some sort of film. Neil, I think we've got a real basketball theme going here.
Yes,
Barack Obama plays it. His wife does too. Sarah Palin is a basketball champion. And she was sort of in our business for a bit, a television sports reporter. So presumably she's a well-spoken, as we all are, of course.
Of course.
Sort of person who could, who could step into a campaign and in a very creditable way perform. We will all still have, I think, people will be raising questions about her experience. I must say, Neil, that you left out that she was elected to the Wasilla City Council before she was mayor.
Well, she was also a runner-up in the Miss Alaska contest.
There are many many new facts. I mean, I presumably pretty soon we'll learn some that are a little more significant.
Well, why don't we listen to some of this narration of this biographical film that seems to be getting cheers there in Dayton.
And Neil, the glow sticks are waving here now in the darkened basketball arena as this crowd of close to 15,000 awaits the arrival of John McCain. His signature theme song has begun to play, and I think we can expect he's about to take the stage.
It's interesting, Linda Wertheimer, as that narration began, talking about 1967, the Summer of Love, which I think you remember, and certainly I remember, and
yes.
Senator McCain remembers, but I don't think Sarah Palin will remember it.
No. No, I think that's true. Sarah Palin, would she have been born? It was just.
I'm not so sure.
Yes, she's 44, so she would have been about 3 years old.
3 years old.
At the time.
Hmm. Well, it's a fascinating choice. But it does seem to me to be one of the completely unexpected and hard-to-understand choice.
Certainly not a safe choice. You would have thought if Senator McCain wanted to make the safe choice, he might have gone with Mitt Romney or Rob Portman, perhaps.
Well, all of them had their problems, and I guess Senator McCain is going for being interesting and being a maverick and making an unusual decision. What this basically does is it throws the whole concern right back on him. I mean, the election is, I think Sarah Palin would, it seems to me that she does not necessarily ease concerns that anybody might have about Senator McCain and his age.
Well, let's go back.
So she's just sort of off to the right of the candidate, waving, and I don't know that she makes any kind of very serious contribution to this effort.
Senator McCain has emerged on the stage at the Nutter Center. Scott, what can you tell us? What can you see?
John McCain has entered with his wife, Cindy, and he's shaking hands with folks here. There are American flags waving, and it's actually kind of hard to hear y'all because it's a pretty deafening roar here. But he's now walking up towards the center of the stage.
Senator John McCain, of course, will on Thursday night accept his party's nomination to be President of the United States. And before that, presumably, we can expect the Republican convention in St. Paul to ratify his selection of Sarah Palin to be the vice presidential selection. This is a selection that is now in the candidate's hands. Let's listen to Senator John McCain, who is now stepping to the lectern.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you.
Crowd in Dayton, Ohio, singing happy birthday to John McCain. As mentioned earlier, this is his 72nd birthday.
Thank you. Thanks for reminding me. Thank you. 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 Thank you for that wonderful welcome. And thank you. Let me tell you, I'm very happy. Thank you. Twice is enough. Thank you very much. That's three times. Thank you. Thank you. I'm very happy. I'm very happy today to spend my birthday with you and to make an historic announcement in Dayton, a city built on hard, honest work of good people. Like the entire industrial Midwest, Dayton has contributed much to the prosperity and progress of America. And now, in these tough, changing times, after all you've done for our country, you want your government to understand what you're going through, to stand on your side and fight for you. And that's what I intend to do. That's why I'm running for president, to fight for you, to make government stand on your side, not in your way. My friends, I've spent the last few months looking for a running mate who can best help me shake up Washington and make it start working again for the people that are counting on us. As I'm sure you know, I had many good people to choose from, all of them dedicated to this country and to getting us back on the road to prosperity and peace. And I am very grateful to all of them and honored by their willingness to serve with me. And I'm going to continue to rely on their support and counsel during this campaign and after we win this election, when the real work begins. But I could only choose one, and it's with great pride and gratitude that I tell you, I have found the right partner to help me stand up to those who value their privileges over their responsibilities, who put power over principle, and put their interest before your needs. I found someone with an outstanding reputation for standing up to special interests and entrenched bureaucracies, someone who has fought against corruption and the failed policies of the past, someone who stopped government from wasting taxpayers' money on things they don't want or need and put it back to work for the people, someone with executive experience who has shown great tenacity and skill in tackling tough problems, especially our dangerous dependence on foreign oil. Someone who reached across the aisle and asked Republicans, Democrats, and independents to serve in government. Someone with strong principles, a fighting spirit, and deep compassion. Someone who grew up in a decent, hard-working, middle-class family, whose father was an elementary school teacher and mother was the school secretary. They taught their children to care about others, to work hard, and to stand up with courage for the things you believe in. Both of them were coaches, too, and raised their children to excel at sports. And I'm sure they taught them skills that will surely come in handy over the next 2 months. The person I'm about to introduce to you was a union member and is married to a union member and understands the problems, the hopes, and the values of working people. knows what it's like to worry about mortgage payments and health care and the cost of gasoline and groceries. A standout high school point guard, a concerned citizen who became a member of the PTA, then a city council member, and then a mayor, and now a governor. Who beat the long odds to win a tough election on a message of reform and public integrity. And I am especially proud to say in the week we celebrate the anniversary of women's suffrage, a devoted wife and a mother of five. She's not from these parts, and she's not from Washington. But when you get to know her, you're going to be as impressed as I am. She's got the grit, integrity, good sense, and fierce devotion to the common good that is exactly what we need in Washington today. She knows where she comes from, and she knows who she works for. She stands up for what's right, and she doesn't let anyone tell her to sit down. She's fought oil companies and party bosses and do-nothing bureaucrats and anyone who puts their interests before the interests of the people she swore an oath to serve. She's exactly who I need. She's exactly who this country needs to help me fight. To help me fight the same old Washington politics of me first and country second. My friends and fellow Americans, I am very pleased and very privileged to introduce to you the next Vice President of the United States. Governor Sarah Palin of the great state of Alaska.
Palin has emerged on the stage at the Nutter Center with her family, her husband, and her children, including, of course, a babe in arms. She's waving to the crowd. She embraced Senator McCain and his wife, Cindy, and we're getting ready now to hear from the governor of the state of Alaska, Sarah Palin.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank
much. And I thank you, Senator McCain and Mrs. McCain, for the confidence that you have placed in me. Senator, I am honored to be chosen as your running mate. I will be honored to serve next to the next President of the United States. McCain gave me this opportunity. He had a short list of highly qualified men and women, and to have made that list at all, it was a privilege. And to have been chosen brings a great challenge. I know that it will demand the best that I have to give, and I promise nothing less. To meet, I want to start with my husband Todd. And Todd and I are actually celebrating our 20th anniversary today, and I promised him. A little surprise for the anniversary present, and hopefully he knows that I did deliver. And then we have, as after my husband, who is a lifelong commercial fisherman, lifetime Alaskan, he's a production operator. Todd is a production operator in the oil fields up on Alaska's North Slope, and he's a proud member of the United Steelworkers Union. And he's a world champion snow machine racer. Todd and I met way back in high school, and I can tell you that he is still the man that I admire most in this world. Along the way, Todd and I have shared many blessings, and 4 out of 5 of them are here with us today. Our oldest son, Track, though, he'll be following the presidential campaign from afar. On September 11th of last year, our son enlisted in the United States Army. Infantry Brigade, and on September 11th, Track will deploy to Iraq in the service of his country, and Todd and I are so proud of him and of all the fine men and women serving this country in uniform. Another daughter, Willow, our youngest daughter, Piper, and over in their arms is our son, Trig, a beautiful baby boy. He was born just in April. His name is Trig Paxson Van Palen. Some of life's greatest opportunities come unexpectedly. And this is certainly the case today. I never really set out to be involved in public affairs, much less to run for this office. My mom and dad both worked at the local elementary school, and my husband and I, we both grew up working with our hands. I was just your average hockey mom in Alaska. Right? busy raising our kids. I was serving as the team mom and coaching some basketball on the side. I got involved in the PTA and then was elected to the city council and then elected mayor of my hometown, where my agenda was to stop wasteful spending and cut property taxes and put the people first. I was then appointed ethics commissioner and chairman of the Alaska Oil and Gas Conservation Commission. And when I found corruption there, I fought it hard and I held the offenders to account. Along with fellow reformers in the great state of Alaska, as governor, I've stood up to the old politics as usual, to the special interests, to the lobbyists, the big oil companies, and the good old boy network. When oil and gas prices went up so dramatically, and the state revenues followed with that increase, I sent a large share of that revenue directly back to the people of Alaska. And we're now embarking on a $40 billion natural gas pipeline to help lead America to energy independence. Ethics reforms, and I appointed both Democrats and independents to serve in my administration. And I've championed reform to end the abuses of earmark spending by Congress. In fact, I told Congress thanks, but no thanks on that bridge to nowhere. I said, we'd build it ourselves. Well, it's always, though, safer in politics to avoid risk, to just kind of go along with the status quo. But I didn't get into government to do the safe and easy things. A ship in harbor is safe, but that's not why the ship is built. Politics isn't just a game of competing interests and clashing parties. The people of America expect us to seek public office and to serve for the right reasons. And the right reason is to challenge the status quo and to serve the common good. Now, no one expects us to agree on everything, whether in Juneau or in Washington, but we are expected to govern with integrity and goodwill and clear convictions and a servant's heart.
Thank you.
Now, no leader in America has shown these qualities so clearly or present so clear a threat to business as usual in Washington as Senator John S. McCain. This is a moment when principles and political independence matter a lot more than just the party line. And this is a man who has always been there to serve his country, not just his party. And this is a moment that requires resolve and toughness and strength of heart in the American president. And my running mate is a man who has shown those qualities in the darkest of places and in the service of his country. Yeah. colleague once said about Senator McCain, that man did things for this country that few people could go through. Never forget that. And that speaker was former Senator John Glenn of Ohio. And John Glenn knows something about heroism. And I'm going to make sure nobody does forget that in this campaign. There is only one candidate who has truly fought for America, and that man is John McCain. This is a moment when great causes can be won and great threats overcome, depending on the judgment of our next president. In a dangerous world, it is John McCain who will lead America's friends and allies in preventing Iran from acquiring nuclear weapons. It was John McCain who cautioned long ago about the harm that Russian aggression could do to Georgia and to other small Democratic neighbors and to the world oil markets. It was Senator McCain who refused to hedge his support for our troops in Iraq, regardless of those political costs. Thank you. Thank you. And you know what? As the mother of one of those troops, and as the commander of Alaska's National Guard, that's the kind of man I want as our commander-in-chief. Days. You know, so often we just find them in books. But next week, when we nominate John McCain for president, we're putting one on the ballot. To serve as vice president beside such a man would be the privilege of a lifetime, and it's fitting that this trust has been given to me 88 years, almost to the day, after the women of America first gained the right to vote. I think as well today of two other women who came before me in national elections. I can't begin this great effort without honoring the achievements of Geraldine Ferraro in 1984. And of course, Senator Hillary Clinton, who showed such determination and grace in her presidential campaign. It was rightly noted in Denver this week that Hillary left 18 million cracks in the highest, hardest glass ceiling in America. But it turns out the women of America aren't finished yet, and we can shatter that glass ceiling once and for all. Is clear. The next 67 days, I'm going to take our campaign to every part of our country and our message of reform to every voter of every background in every political party or no party at all. If you want change in Washington, if you hope for a better America, then we're asking for your vote on the 4th of November. My fellow Americans, join our cause. as and help our country to elect a great man, the next President of the United States. And I thank you, and I God bless you, I say, and God bless America. Thank you.
Sarah Palin, the governor of Alaska, announced just a few minutes ago as John McCain's choice to be his running mate. She is his choice to be nominated next week at the Republican National Convention in St. Paul, Minnesota, to be vice president of the United States. You're listening to special coverage from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington, and let's get some political reaction to the selection of Sarah Palin, the 44-year-old first-term governor of Alaska. Joining us now are Ralph Reed, former executive director of the Christian Coalition, now a Republican political strategist. Nice to have you with us today.
Good to be with you, Neil.
Ralph Reed with us by phone from Atlanta. Also with us, Celinda Lake, a Democratic pollster and president of Lake Research Partners, with us on the phone from Denver, Colorado. Nice of you to be with us as well.
Nice to be here. Thank you.
And Ralph Reed, let's get reaction from you first.
Well, I think it's a bold and brilliant pick. I mean, first of all, Sarah Palin is a solid pro-family, pro-life, pro-marriage conservative who has been a tax cutter, who has been a leader on ethics in Alaska. She fought the so-called Bridge to Nowhere, which became a symbol of some of the earmark-driven corruption in Washington. She's passed a sweeping ethics reform bill in Alaska. She's one of the brightest new stars in the Republican constellation. So I think she's going to thrill and energize reformers, independents, conservatives. She's a lifetime member of the NRA. I think on a raw sort of political strategic level, this is a real game changer. I've got to believe that for a lot of independents and a lot of women, that particularly after the way Hillary Clinton was treated, both as she ran for president and then not even making Barack Obama's short list, which I thought was a terrible oversight. I think this is, frankly, whatever party you're a member of, just as yesterday was a great day for America with the first African-American major party nominee accepting his party's nomination, this is a great day for Americans of any party, both parties, to see a woman for the first time since 1984 on a national ticket.
Governor Palin and Senator McCain plunging into the crowd at the Nutter Center in Dayton, Ohio to shake hands. Let's get your reaction to Linda Lake.
Well, I certainly admire the choice a great deal, and I know and have watched Sarah Palin very closely, and she's a very independent, able leader. I would say this. It says, obviously, that the Republicans are very worried about the women's vote, and they should be because they came out of the Democratic Convention now with only 39% of women supporting McCain, and I hope that Sarah Palin can have some influence on McCain's policies in terms of the economic policies and not being for pay equity, in terms of the Iraq policies continuing to stay there 100 years and spend money that we need here at home, in terms of privatizing Social Security, clearly a women's issue. There are a lot of issues where John McCain differs with Sarah Palin, and also where John McCain differs with the women of America. And putting Sarah Palin on the ticket, certainly something to be celebrated and admired, and it is another great crack in that ceiling. But there are a lot of policy disagreements that affect the lives of women in everyday life.
Well, Celinda Lake, do you think she can appeal to those women who supported Hillary Clinton and in important states like Ohio, West Virginia, and Pennsylvania, places like that where she won handily, and those women, many of them still upset, as Ralph Reed suggested, with her defeat by Senator Obama in the Democratic primaries?
Well, let me say two things about that. First of all, they were upset, but there's every indication that they're not upset anymore. In fact, the most recent Gallup poll shows that women have surged ahead. They've doubled their margin for Barack Obama and Joe Biden. We also see conservative Democrats having come solidly home. So that was true before the convention, but I think Hillary Clinton answered those people, and Bill Clinton answered those women's questions. The issue is that Sarah Palin will be used in that way, but as appealing as she is, it's ultimately the president who's in charge. And this is a president, and I don't think Sarah Palin's going to change Senator McCain's position on pay equity, on privatizing Social Security, on doing away with guaranteed affordable health insurance and leaving you on your own with the insurance companies, so on voting 19 times against raising the minimum wage. So Senator McCain has a number of policies that women barely know about today that they would virulently disagree with. And I think they can admire Sarah Palin, and it's great to have a woman on the ticket, but wish that she were having more influence on the positions of Senator McCain.
Celinda Lake, I know you've got to run. We appreciate you taking the time to be with us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Celinda Lake, a Democratic pollster and president of Lake Research Partners. Ralph Reed, let me ask you. Senator McCain has made great hay, charging that his Democratic opponent is too young and too inexperienced to be president of the United States. Is Sarah Palin going to be presenting herself as ready to step into the Oval Office if need be?
Well, I think, you know, she's got more executive experience running a state and being a governor than Joe Biden and Barack Obama combined. I don't want to diminish their legislative experience, particularly Joe Biden, who's got the fourth highest level of seniority in the Senate. But if you're looking for executive experience, Sarah Palin has got it. I think furthermore, If Barack Obama is going to say that he's ready to be president when 4 years ago he was an Illinois state senator, I don't see how he can say Sarah Palin's not ready.
Yet we heard the McCain campaign when Tim Kaine's name came up, the freshman governor of the state of Virginia, saying totally inexperienced, unready to be president.
Well, I think the difference between Kaine and Palin is frankly pretty dramatic. I mean, you know, Kaine, who I like personally, has not really left a lot of footprints in the snow in Virginia. He's not been a bold reformer. He's not dramatically undertaken real change in that state. The main thing that he's known for is pushing a tax increase for transportation that failed. Sarah Palin, on the other hand, took on an incumbent congressman who was, an incumbent governor, defeated him in her own party's primary, took on, as she said today, the good old boy network in Alaska politics, fought the bridge to nowhere, fought the oil industry special interest by looking at alternative sources of energy. She's called for a greater level of energy independence from foreign oil. She has been a significant force for change in her state. And if you want somebody who's going to shake up Washington, you want somebody who, prior to that, has shaken up a state, and she's done it. And as I said, yes, she's relatively young, and yes, she's only held statewide office for 2 years. But prior to this election, Sarah Palin was viewed by everybody in both parties as one of the brightest young stars in American politics, not unlike, say, Bill Clinton in the early to mid-1980s.
Ralph Reed, thanks very much for your time today. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Ralph Reed, a Republican national strategist with us on the line from Atlanta, Georgia. Let's now go to Denver, Colorado. Ron Elving is there, NPR senior Washington editor, and Linda Wertheimer, NPR senior national correspondent. And thanks for both of you to being with us.
Hello, Neil.
A pleasure, Neil.
And Ron, this has been certainly a surprise selection. Senator McCain said, I had many choices to make, and I can regrettably only choose one. He's chosen a surprise candidate.
Yes, I think it would be safe to say that it came as a surprise to all the people who were on his supposed shortlist, since Sarah Palin was not. And Sarah Palin was never one of the featured people on his list of considerees. There were a number of other women on that list, including people who had been governors or senators or who had more experience. But none of them appears to have brought to this particular opportunity what Sarah Palin does. And I think one of the main things she brings is the vivacity that we saw just a moment ago in her speech, and also a real record of being something of a pistol up there in Alaska. And this is going to kick the campaign with some youth, with some juice, with some sense of bright new appeal, which John McCain, for all his back and forth, sometimes maverick, sometimes not maverick reputation, has lost. And it's hard for him to generate that on his 72nd birthday. So he has gone out and he's gotten it in Sarah Palin.
And we heard Ralph Reed try to explain the experience question, saying that, well, she's got more executive experience than Barack Obama, or for that matter, Joe Biden, or, well, for that matter, John McCain. But nevertheless, Linda Wertheimer, this is going to be a vulnerability that Democrats are already exploiting. Today, a statement put out by McCain-Obama campaign spokesman Bill Burton. Today, John McCain put the former mayor of a town of 9,000 with zero foreign policy experience a heartbeat away from the presidency. Governor Palin shares John McCain's commitment to overturning Roe versus Wade, the agenda of big oil, and continuing George Bush's failed economic policies. That's not the change we need.
Well, I would certainly feel that the first item on that list would be the key item if you were going to go out and campaign on experience as this campaign And this campaign has been based on the idea that Barack Obama does not have the proper experience to be president. If you're going to run a campaign based on that, then you pick a candidate who has. I cannot feel that being governor of a, you know, Alaska is the largest state, but also one of the smallest states in population. Having been governor of that state for 1 year, it doesn't seem to me does too much for your creds in the experience area. It seems she, but what she does bring is she brings her gender, and that's exciting. She's obviously quite good on the campaign trail. For those of us who are listening to her on the radio, you know, she has a, she sounds very, very young, but she's also very, very pretty. So, I mean, I think she'll be, as Ron has said, a vivacious presence on the campaign, which is something that would be good for them. And she also has definite, serious reformer credentials, as John McCain himself does. So there is a bond between them and a certain sort of shared idea about what's appropriate. And I think that that will be a strong element. I just sort of looked down the resume as John McCain was listing it, and she certainly has a lot of the things that conservatives want a candidate to have. Most notably, if you're I would think that conservatives, especially Right to Life conservatives, would be thrilled with this woman who kept her pregnancy, her last pregnancy, most recent pregnancy, a secret because, I suppose, she didn't want anybody giving her any grief about the fact that she intended to go ahead and have a baby that she knew to be a Down syndrome baby, and she was very glad to do it. So that, you know, that you can't say that there could be no more solid credentials than that, it seems to me.
Linda?
By the way, I just wanted to mention her children have very original names, Track, Trig, Bristol, Willow, and Piper.
And those
According to Fox News.
And those children are certainly going to be an asset, certainly as Barack Obama's children have been an asset to him, and they will look great on the stage there in St. Paul. Is this, as Ron Elving, is this, as Ralph Reed said, a game changer?
Yes, I think that's the phrase we're going to hear from a lot of people, particularly on the admiring side, that she does change the entire biology of this particular race at this particular moment, and she changes the chemistry as well. I'm going to go right down the whole list of textbooks, Neil. She really does bring a totally different look to the Republican phalanx and the Republican face. And when she stands there with John McCain in Minneapolis, or rather in St. Paul next week, she's really going to make an entirely different presentation for this ticket. And the Republicans are clearly confident that even though she doesn't have all the things that they say are most important in a presidential candidate, that she's going to be providing something else that supplements John McCain, that undercuts the message of the Obama-Biden ticket, and that really just ties the Democrats in knots. And one of the main things here, of course, is the breakthrough aspect. You heard her say, I want to salute Geraldine Ferraro, 1984, but here's the payoff, here's the money quote, I want to salute Hillary Clinton. Come to me, all you Hillary Clinton supporters.
The women of America aren't finished yet. We can still break that highest glass ceiling. Thank you both very much. We've been speaking with Ron Elving, NPR Senior Washington Editor, and Linda Wertheimer, NPR Senior National Correspondent. Stay tuned to NPR News for further coverage of this selection by John McCain of Sarah Palin, the governor of Alaska, to be his vice presidential nominee. Obviously, more coming up next week from St. Paul. I'm Neil Conan. This is NPR News.
And this is WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD2 and HD3 Urbana, the broadcasting service of the College of Media at Illinois. It's 1 minute before noon. I'm Celeste Quinn. Let's take a look at what's happening in Kansas City and in Chicago. September wheat in Kansas City is trading at 820.5, down 4.25. December 844, down 3.25. In Chicago, September wheat 782.75, down 6.25. December 805.5, down 5.5. September corn 576.25, up 6.25. December 593.25, up 5.5. March 611.75, up 5. May 624, up 4.75. September beans 1338.5, up 6. November 1329, up 5. January 1345.5, up 4.25. November